Manx Radio's update with Lewis Foster.
Fans of mine, good evening and welcome along to Update on Manx Radio. It's 5 o'clock on Thursday the 10th of July. What a day it's been. Glorious sunshine and plenty of action from the Southern 100. We'll bring you a recap later in the programme. But first, as more businesses announce they're moving away from Douglas High Street, we speak to a number of retailers about the pros and cons of being in the city centre. And Manx Care is expecting to be £2 million over budget by the end of the financial year. All that and more coming up, plus the latest weather and what to watch out for on the roads this evening. Let us know your thoughts. Text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. And first of all, let's take a look at the latest headlines with Simon Richardson. Fast am I, Simon.
Fast am I. Government won't be creating a central register to record all ministerial decisions. The Council of Ministers has confirmed the move after Tynwald supported calls for all decisions to be logged last year. Manx Care will likely need to make full usage of Treasury's contingency fund after overspending in the first 2 months of the year. The healthcare provider's accounts up to the end of May show a £1.2 million deficit in the first 2 months of the 2025-26 period. The action has come to a close at this year's Southern 100 races. Davy Todd emerged victorious in this year's solo championship race, ahead of Dean Harrison in second and Michael Dunlop in third. Shortly after, Manx brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe took the top spot in the sidecar championship, securing an outright lap record of 103.281 miles per hour in the process. Pete Founds and Jevon Warnsley secured another podium spot in second, while Tim Reeves and Kevin Kosh came third. The 70th anniversary meeting on the Balown course concludes with a prize presentation in Castletown's Market Square tonight, getting underway at 8:30. International headlines: the Prime Minister and the French President are trying to agree on new tactics to be used to reduce the number of small boat crossings in the English Channel. Emmanuel Macron's been in Downing Street for a summit after both men said a new deterrent is needed. Iran's rejecting the findings of a report which claims the threat to the country poses to the UK has increased significantly. Parliament's Intelligence Committee says it's mainly against Iranian dissidents as well as Jewish and Israeli interests. And the National Crime Agency insists the cyber attack targeting M&S, Co-op and Harrods remain among its highest priorities. Four people, all 20 or under, were arrested in London and the West Midlands earlier. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more news at 6.
Simon Richardson, Gurul Mayed, thank you. Now the weather, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. There's a warning of fog at the airport. A warm evening ahead with sunny spells in many places, but also areas of mist and fog affecting some coasts and in light and variable winds. The continuing risk of coastal mist and fog again for some places for much of tomorrow, but elsewhere seeing warm sunny spells, light winds and a best temperature of 22 degrees. Becoming hot and sunny on Saturday with light east or northeast breezes and a highest temperature of 26 or 27 degrees. Fine again on Sunday, top temperature 24 or 25 degrees before a spell of rain arrives on Monday, bringing with it cooler air. Sunset tonight will be at 11 minutes before 10 and sunrise tomorrow morning at 1 minute before 5.
World-class racing has returned to our island. Make a pit stop at your local Tesco and pick up crowd-pleasing bites, drinks and camping must-haves. Tesco, every little helps.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made-to-measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452-688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Yes, indeed, and the time now is 5 past 5. Lack of parking, low footfall and crippling rates. Those are just some of the issues some of the businesses on Douglas High Street say they are facing. It's of course something we've spoken about plenty of times before, but just what can be done to help bring people to the city centre? Rachel Marsland from Terry's Tatoes on Strand Street has been speaking to Chanel Suku.
We had been opening late on a Thursday, and the first time we did that was a really, really good response. And we did get, you know, a few weeks in a row where we were getting quite a few people. So it was going really, really well. But unfortunately, we've noticed a massive decline in that on a Thursday, and it's really not a viable option for us to keep going. But it's obviously incredibly difficult. We really want this business to work. It is really sad to think that, you know, the footfall, that is the biggest thing. Yeah, it is sort of soul destroying when you put so much time, money and effort into a business and to have this obvious decline.
There's no decision that's been made yet.
No decision that's been made yet to shut the business. But on the Thursday evenings, we've stopped the Thursday evenings. We have basically got like a 6-monthly review on our rent. And obviously the landlord is absolutely fantastic. But we need to make a decision probably before the end of August if we're going to continue for after March next year, because we need to give notice on the 1st of September if we are to close. From my sort of point of view, I definitely think, and talking to customers that come in, everyone really much says the same thing. It's like parking on the prom, they'd like to have more free parking.
Rachel Marsland there from Terry's Tatoes on Strand Street. Well, parking is a big issue, but is free parking something people should expect, or is it a luxury? Nigel Ties runs the Matrix Arena in the Strand Shopping Centre. He says he's looking at moving premises again, having recently relocated from Ballasalla.
It's only a possibility of moving, but no, it's not a closure. Footfall is low, which is then, you know, domino effect causing us issues. So we have got to find another venue. It's just not sustainable where we are to carry on. VAT is a massive factor. When you are an entertainment business, 20% of everything you take goes to the VAT office. However, when you're not buying things in, yes, you get VAT back on rent and electricity and all that, but in an ideal world, that proportion of things is quite small. The rest of it is taken up with wages and things like that. And to lose 20% of everything that you take just to get 20% back on a small portion of it, it does seem hugely improportionate. It's hugely improportionate to take 20% of everything that we take. It's basically just a massive tax. It is killing small business.
That's Nigel Ties there from the Matrix Arena in the Strand Shopping Centre in Douglas. Well, in response, Douglas City Council says we're always saddened to hear of any business experiencing difficulty and fully recognise the cost pressures many are under, which is why we work hard to keep any rate rise as low as possible. It's also important, it says, to note that rates only make up a small proportion of total operating costs in the city centre, with rent, utilities and other charges often having a bigger impact, many of which are beyond our control. The council adds, like all organisation, the council faces rising costs too, but we remain committed to supporting our high street through Douglas City Centre management, helping to drive footfall and promote local businesses. The time now, 5:09, you're listening to Update on Manx Radio. Manx Care had a £1.2 million deficit for the first 2 months of the financial year and is currently expecting to be £2 million over budget by the end of the 2025-26 financial period. The healthcare provider's accounts up to the end of May have been published as part of its latest board meeting. In this year's budget, Manx Care was given £357 million to provide its services, with an additional £14 million set aside in contingency funding. Designated Finance Officer Tammy Hewitt explained that there are a number of variables to consider.
Currently, at month two, we have an operational year-to-date position of a £1.2 million deficit, taking into account additional costs which we've currently got earmarked against contingency funding. That takes us to a £2 million deficit. In terms of a forecast, we're currently reporting to achieve the position, albeit there are a number of risks feeding into that, which are included in the report. So some of those risks are around the pay awards, which haven't been agreed yet. We've made certain assumptions in the accounts about what that might be, but they're not agreed yet and they'd be higher. Also around the CIP, which is affecting the year-to-date position. Some of the schemes we've got are based to deliver later in the year, which is affecting the year-to-date position because we've got the most of the budget is in 12s. So that's having an impact. Also around tertiary care, we've not, as at month two, we've not had any data through for the current financial year, but that's in line with England's reporting. It's generally around 2 months behind. Also, we are, because we are seeing these costs coming through year to date, we are assuming we'll need full usage of the £10 million Treasury contingency fund.
That's Manx Care's designated finance officer, Tammy Hewitt.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Soaring vet bills are being blamed in the UK for a sharp rise in the number of pet owners reluctantly opting to have their animals euthanised because they're unable to pay for required medical treatment. Rising costs are being linked to the acquisition of many independent practices by major international companies. So what's the situation on the island? Well, some local veterinary surgeries have also been acquired by off-island entities, but when cost is an issue for pet owners, the Manx SPCA can often intervene, as Chris Borrock explained to Simon Richardson.
We're very lucky that our veterinary practices over here, if they do have that similar scenario with a client that's come in, most veterinary practices will actually put a Manx SPCA forward to them and say, you could rehome your pet, it could have another second life if it is financial issues. We've not seen many of that actually come through. We've seen other issues compared to financial costs instead.
However, this, I suppose, is something that the MSPCA must be concerned about, this, if you like, corporatisation of veterinary surgeons that's going on in the UK. It seems to be an increasing trend.
It is. Normally, the man always gets it a little bit later down the line. So we always like to prepare if news like this from the UK starts happening. We like to have a fist foot in the door, really, for the animal side. We are on great terms with the veterinary practices. We're always here to make sure that we can help any pet owners with pet issues. We can put them into different guidance if they are having financial issues, and hopefully owners will think of us before they do have to make that decision. Legally though, a veterinary practice does have to continue the wishes of the owner. So if the owner does not wish to rehome the dog or the cat, the animal, unfortunately vets do have to carry out the owner's wishes.
Is it the case, do you think, that people are being put off having dogs and cats because of the soaring cost of vets' bills?
We've seen an increase of dogs coming in for adoption, rehoming, and similar to cats as well. Our adoption rate is normal, has not necessarily gone up or down, but we have obviously had lots of response that it is quite costly. Our older dogs, which will obviously need further medication, they're going to get older and needs a little bit more work. They might have a chance of getting a better home, or they might stay with us a bit longer because there is a veterinary cost included in that. There are ways that we are trying to work around that for the adopters and the animals that do come into our care.
That's Chris Borrock from the Manx SPCA speaking to Simon Richardson there. The time now, 14 minutes past five. Government won't be creating a central register to record all ministerial decisions. The Council of Ministers has confirmed the decision after Tynwald supported calls for all decisions to be logged last year, as Sean Cowper reports.
In April 2024, Tynwald backed a proposal from Douglas North MHK David Ashford calling for Comin to look into the prospect of a register for all decisions taken by ministers. The council's report on the concept will be laid before Tynwald this month and says that after careful consideration it has agreed not to create a central log. However, it has confirmed the government code will be updated over the summer, and it's hoped enhancements and additions as part of this will address Mr. Ashford's concerns over governance. Among the reasons for not introducing a register, Comyn says the resource implications would be too great, particularly for Treasury and the Department of Infrastructure, as they make the most ministerial decisions. Mr Ashford also voiced concerns over the risk of two ministers taking conflicting decisions, but Comyn found no evidence that this has happened. Comyn says it's committed to strengthening the code on ministerial directions, where a minister issues an instruction to their department to proceed with spending, and intends to make it a requirement for all decisions to be noted by the minister's department so there's a clear audit trail.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, starting on the roads, if you're in the south, roads around the Balaun course have now reopened. And in the north, police have confirmed in the last few moments that the Jerby Road in Ramsey from the Clifton Road Junction to the Gerry Road Junction is now open. That's following that earlier RTC earlier today. So the Jerby Road in Ramsey now has now reopened. Elsewhere in Douglas, Finch Road is closed between St Barnabas Hill and Christian Road for sewer work. In Colby, temporary lights on the main road at the Ballacroy Park turn for water main work there. In Peel, temporary lights on Glenfaber Road near the new sewage treatment plant for service supply work. And in Sulby, temporary lights on Sulby Bridge for work on the manholes. Over at the airport, this afternoon's 10 to 5 Loganair flight to Manchester has been cancelled, as too is the inbound London City flight later tonight. And the 6 o'clock Loganair flight to Liverpool as well is also delayed until around 6:45. So keep an eye on the departures board if you're due to fly later tonight. And on the sailings, Manxman is due to arrive back into Douglas from Heysham at around 6 o'clock. And Manannan sailed out through the cloak of mist earlier this afternoon, bound for Liverpool. Should arrive at the ferry terminal there in little over an hour's time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
And it's 17 minutes past five now. A candidate standing for Port Erin Commissioners says he wants to see more investment in facilities for young people in the village. James Cubbon, who's a former Castletown Commissioner, claims he will fight for the community and believes people can trust him to hit the ground running if he's elected. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been speaking to him.
I'm a southern man that genuinely cares about the community. Port Erin's a special place, but it could be extra special. And I'm passionate about the south of the Isle of Man, and I'm passionate about Port Erin. And I, for some reason, years ago, I got struck with being community-minded, but I genuinely think I can make a difference to Port Erin to make it extra special. And with what I've done over the last 10 years in other places, I think I've got the knowledge, the experience and the skill set to be able to do that.
Was there anything in particular that made you decide to stand for the local authority?
There's challenges in Port Erin, and like, I've got three teenage children, you know, and I've been fighting for quality facilities for young people in the south for well over a decade now, and nothing has changed. But I know that I can make a difference in Port Erin, and it's got the blank canvas, the likes of Breagle Glen, these dilapidated tennis courts there, and I know with. I've still got my own recreational facilities charity. I can raise money to develop these facilities. You need to be a commissioner to be able to make these things happen. And looking at the current board in Port Erin, it's really important that you see like-minded people, because unless you've got a majority, you can't achieve anything.
If you are elected to the commissioners, what would you like to achieve? Is there anything you've got that you see as like a key priority?
You read manifestos recently and it was all, I'll listen to the residents. Yes, you have to listen to the residents, but you've also got to have your strong ideas and your passion to drive forward. I'll hit the ground running because I will achieve putting in the recreational facilities for young people that the South has never had. And for decades, young people haven't had a voice.
What will you be able to bring to the role if you're elected? Obviously, you were a Castletown Commissioner previously for 10 years or so.
I would like to think that people trust me. I'm a man of integrity, a man of openness and honesty. And I don't believe people should say something in a meeting unless they're prepared to say it in public. I've got a track record in doing. It's purely a voluntary role to do this as a commissioner. But you have to have passion. And I'm not messing around by standing for this, because I will make change down here.
That was James Cubbon, who's standing as a candidate for one of the two vacant seats in the upcoming Port Erin Commissioners by-election. The other candidates are Carl Drinkwater and Fenella Gray. Residents will be able to vote at the Port Erin Commissioners offices on Brighton Street from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m. on Thursday, the 17th of July. Now, have you had any days off work this year because you had too much to drink the night before? An uncomfortable question, perhaps, but this week marks Alcohol Awareness Week, and the focus this year is on the work days lost through overindulgence. John Moss has been speaking to Thea Ozanturk, the CEO of Manx charity Motivate.
If you're a woman and you drink more than 35 units a week, and you're a man and you drink more than 50 units a week, you will be developing a dependency.
A unit is a glass, in effect.
A unit is a measure. And most drinks that you get today from the supermarkets have got the units on them. And if you go to a bar and you're getting, you know, a single measure of spirits, that's a unit, a single measure of spirits. A pint of beer, ordinary strength beer or lager, that's 2 units, okay? Your glass of wine, a small glass of wine that your granny would have given you, is a unit, not your goldfish bowls that you get, you know, your 175ml, your 250ml. You're looking at 3 or 4 units in one of them, depending on the strength of the alcohol. So the age group that drinks the most, you'd be surprised to learn, is actually the 50 pluses.
A couple who sit at home and they've opened a bottle, have a glass, have another glass because the bottle's open, etc.
Yeah.
And if you do that every night in a week, it builds up.
Absolutely. I mean, you only have to, if you regularly drink a bottle of wine a day or even half a bottle of wine a day, that will become a habit that will then start to impact on your health and it'll creep up on you. You might get things like your cholesterol level might start going up, your blood pressure might be increasing. So the age group that's drinking the most, actually, it's probably not the best age group to be doing it, because that's the age when you start to get these problems that we do get in later life. I think there are 17 million days lost a year to the workplace in the UK. Costs about 7 billion a year. Affects productivity, absence from work.
John Moss there, speaking to Thea Ozanturk, the CEO of Manx charity Motivate. 22 minutes past five now, and bronze medalists at the Ireland Games 2 years ago. Now the Isle of Man women's football team have bigger ambitions, heading to the latest games in Orkney this month. After initially only being a reserve for the tournament, the team was dramatically reinstated into the main draw in December last year, following Guernsey's withdrawal from that competition. Now a 20-strong Isle of Man team has its sights set on going far, with a belief that they have all the tools they need to succeed, as women's team captain Becky Corkish and team manager Wayne Lisi explain.
Well, we're going for gold, Rob. We're not doing it if we're not going for gold, and we've learnt from last year. Obviously, it was Wayne's first Ireland tournament last time, and I'm sure he's learnt a few things from how the team can get better and what we can do better as players. So, yeah, there's no reason why we're not going to go the whole way this time.
And again, on what Beck has just said there, Wayne, is the fact that, you know, you've got an Ireland Games under your belt now. What did you learn as a manager from the last one?
Absolutely, I learned a lot. I learned that it's not about the starting 11 in terms of the Ireland Games, it's about the whole squad. Certainly from my point of view, I'll be using the full squad more than I did last time, and that will just keep everyone fresh as well.
Becky, on the squad itself, how do you rate the strength of the squad this year?
I think it's a really strong squad. I think you've got the strength of the players in there, you've got the ability of the players in there, the speed. Each player offers something different, and it really makes the squad as good as it is. Obviously, we're missing Ellie Gorn this year, which is a massive loss due to work commitments. Just even with her knowledge of the game and how the Ireland Games go, tournament football is completely different to playing a match on a Sunday and then having a week off. So we're going to miss the experience from her. But then on the flip side, we've got new young members coming in like Pippa Wallace and Rosabelle Cardi, and it'll be great to see what they can offer.
And off the back of that, Wayne, from your perspective, you've got a good nucleus of experienced players in there, you know, Becky included amongst others. But the fact, as Becky says, there are a couple of younger faces coming in for the first time. How encouraging is that for you as a manager to see more players coming through for the future?
Oh, it's fantastic. And there's more to come, to be honest, Rob. I know the junior set up at some of the clubs on the Island is really good for the girls, and I know there's talented players coming through. I'd also like to touch on the fact that we've got a couple of players that have come back into the fold that weren't available a couple of years ago. Your Sarah O'Reilly, your Shannon Groves. So they're going to add their experience and their quality back into the squad, as well as the youngsters we brought in.
The 2025 Ireland Games in Orkney begin this Saturday and run until Friday, the 18th of July.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now then, let's have a recap of today's action on the Blount course and the closing day of the Southern Hundred Road Races. And it was a hat-trick for Yorkshireman Davy Todd, who stormed to victory in this afternoon's solo championship race, securing his fourth win of this year's meeting. Close behind was Dean Harrison in second and Michael Dunlop in third. In the last hour as well, we've seen the Jerby brothers Ryan and Callum Crowe victorious in the sidecar championship race, securing an outright lap record of 103.281 miles per hour in the process. Callum sums it up.
It wasn't easy, that one. I was flat out every lap, not one bit of rest, sliding in church bends, bloody hell.
Sliding in, sliding out?
Sliding in, sliding out, everywhere.
103.281, your quickest lap as well.
That's just mental, isn't it?
The first...
Pete Founds and Jevon Walmsley secured another podium spot in second, while Tim Reeves and Kevin Kolsch came third. Well, earlier in the day, Davy Todd secured his third win of the meeting, finishing just 0.2 seconds ahead of Dean Harrison in today's senior race, with Michael Dunlop completing the top three. Todd was denied victory in the Supersport A race by Mike Brown, while newcomer John Marsh was on the top step in the Supersport B race, just 1.9 seconds ahead of last night's winner, Paul Cranston, with Dennis Booth completing the podium. It was all newcomers on the podium in the solo Founders race as Craig Skipek dominated proceedings, crossing the line more than 33 seconds ahead of nearest rival Adam Williams, while Craig Kennelly came out on top in a hotly contested battle for third. In the final race before the lunch break, it was Andy Smart, who's also a newcomer, taking the honours in the lightweight consolation race. As the afternoon got underway, Michael Dunlop took first place and his 26th win on the Blount course on the 600cc challenge, just 0.176 seconds ahead of Davy Todd. And Mike Brown made the podium once again, this time in third. Well, still to come tonight, the 70th anniversary meeting concludes with a prize presentation in Castletown's Market Square, getting underway at 8:30. And once again, roads around the Blount course have now reopened. And that's it for Update tonight. Coming up, Fiona McArdle presents Shaq Lair, then Jason Moore is back at 6 o'clock with Greatest Hits. Remember, you can listen back to tonight's programme as a podcast. If there's anything you've missed, it will be available shortly over at manxradio.com. Have a great evening, enjoy the sunshine, and Update will be back at the same time tomorrow.